Are you running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys from Akatawa Technologies, here for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. Wednesday, 12:30 here. It is time for The Computer Guys, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. That's the best way to get a hold of us. You can always send us an email, though, if you're a little phone shy.
That's right. It's computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show. Again, computerguys@whtc.com.
That's right, Kev. Of course, if you can't catch our show, or if you're listening now and you're out in the car and you're getting in and out or have to run to lunch and you want to hear the rest of our show or old shows, you can always check out our podcast. It's free if you have iTunes. Yeah. The easiest way is just to search the music store and just type in WHTC and we'll come right up.
That's true. Or you can go to our website. It's makatawatechnologies.com and grab the podcast from there too.
That's right, Kev. I forgot that we have that on there now.
That's right. It's linked right on there so you can get all the old shows and listen to us anytime you want.
Absolutely. And of course, Kev, in addition to the phone calls that hopefully we'll be taking here, we'll also have some news stories because we like to educate and entertain and inform our listeners.
And let's face it, there is always computer and technology related news. Yeah, every single day.
I'll be honest. When I was younger, I actually enjoyed the fact that every day there was something to do. Now, you know, sometimes you just think, man, there's a lot that's new.
Every week there's some huge new push on something. So
there's always something. Nothing ever stays the same.
That's true.
It keeps it interesting.
That's right.
Kev, the first thing, speaking of new, the netbooks are new. You know, within the last year or two, have become quite popular for basically surfing the internet, checking email, and maybe a little basic music, but not much. You know, they're really intended just to be internet computers. You know, internet, email, keep it simple.
That's right.
Facebook, you know, Twitter, whatever you want to do. Well, this is from some statistics here, Kev. This is from Harvard Business Publishing. Netbooks confuse consumers. 60% of netbook purchasers expect them to have the same functionality as notebook computers, according to recent market research by the NPD Group. That misperception leads to disappointment. Only 58% of purchasers surveyed were satisfied with their netbooks.
Wow.
60% of those who bought netbooks said they did so primarily because of the device's portability. But exactly the same percentage said they never took their netbooks anywhere.
Hmm. Now, I wonder about that. Never take them anywhere. Okay, so maybe they don't travel extensively with them, but my guess is they move around the house a lot. You know, I would say I don't think I've seen many netbooks sitting on a desk. I think most of the time they're on the couch, they're in the recliner, they're here,
there. I see them on a dining room table.
Do you think they stay there? My guess is most netbooks that they're moving around the house. So even if they're not traveling extensively, you know, they're not just sitting at a desk somewhere. So, yeah. And I mean, that's one of the biggest attractions is, man, it's so portable. Not like you have to take it everywhere you go, but it's a one hand, grab it, run to the couch, you know, chair, wherever, have your netbook.
So
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday. I'm going to get you a netbook.
Don't give me a small little netbook.
I'm going to give you one. You're going to like it.
I'm going to sell it on Craigslist.
You're going to like it. And then I'll buy it back and give it to you again.
No. And the reason, Kev, the reason I'm not a fan is because of the keyboard. It's too small.
You adjust it to your phone, though.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But that is because I can use my thumbs.
Why don't you try your thumbs on a netbook? I bet you could do it. I bet you could put your hands on the side and use your thumbs on the netbook.
Careful, don't break your laptop over there. No, you know, there are a lot of people that I talk to who are absolutely love their netbook. And they get it. It's got an 8-inch screen or 7-inch screen, and it's great. All I do is surf the web, and they love it, you know. And I'll admit, it's definitely practical. I see Verizon now, Kev. I haven't really had a chance to look into this, but they've got one. It's like $199.
Verizon's making a netbook?
Well, yeah, I don't know who the actual manufacturer is, but Verizon's been advertising it.
I checked that out.
Yeah, it's like $199. It's got a built-in cell card.
Okay.
So, of course, they're going to get you a contract. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that you could. I doubt that you could buy it on its own.
Interesting.
But
I think it's an HP.
HP?
Yeah, it's an HP Mini. Built-in broadband.
And that's kind of a cool idea because, you know, the one downside to the netbook is even though it is small and portable, you still have to have
$200 with a 2-year agreement on a mobile broadband plan.
So you're looking at $200 for the unit and then $60 a month.
Well, and it's probably if you go unlimited, the $39.99 starting monthly access, I think that's probably like a limit of, you know, a couple gigs maybe of data transfer. So
let's take this call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hey, guys. I was curious, what should I look for in minimums of webcams? I see prices all over, you know, from $40 to $300 or something like that.
Well, the cheaper ones, you know, on the $40 end will be, you know, decent for, you know, if you're using Skype for some video conferencing, just a decent picture. The more money you spend, it's going to be able to automatically balance out the light better.
That's one of the biggest things. It'll be able to handle different lighting conditions. So I would say look at something in probably the...
Is this going to be for home or business, first of all?
For home. I'd had a... kid that moved down to Texas recently, and so he had it. I got him a new laptop, so he had it built in. But now his mother's making me get one.
For
our computer.
Sure.
Yeah, Logitech and Microsoft, good brands of webcams.
Yeah, I'd say look for something in the $50 range. You know, staying away from the $20 special.
Do they have numbers like that? I've seen some like a 1.3 something or...
Yeah, a lot of those numbers have to do with its ability to take still photos, which most people don't use their cams for a lot. Most of the time you're looking for the actual, like a 640 by 480 is the actual resolution that the camera will be able to display. And that's for video. And that's actually kind of a more important number. And a lot of it, too, has to do with your internet connection. Do you have a decently fast internet connection?
Yeah, I've got the Uverse package.
Okay. Yeah, because that makes a huge difference on what how fast everything gets processed as far as how choppy the photo is. So I would say, you know, I'm trying to think of the model numbers. Microsoft makes one.
I think it's like $60, isn't it, for their basic
5000 series. I think they're maybe the VX5000.
Would something like that have a microphone in it too?
Oh yeah, almost everything you're going to buy has a microphone in it.
Okay.
Even the low end ones, and you know it's sufficient for voice. Yeah, the VX5000. It's a tiny little one, and that's actually priced, you know, pretty aggressively in the $30 to $50 range.
Okay.
I've actually been pretty impressed with that. That's the 3000 is their low end one. You probably want to bump up from that. And the 5000 actually does a pretty decent job. So that's one to check out. Otherwise the Logitech Webcam Pro 9000, people have been very happy with. That one's a little more in the $70 range, but that's a great little unit. So
good. Hey, thank
couple
you
to
so
check
much
out.
Information.
Yep, definitely the biggest thing you're going to notice is how well they handle light. So spend a little bit more to get one that handles the light well.
Good, thank you.
Yep, thanks for your call.
And one other thing to just add on there too, Kev, mentioned the microphone's built in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's decent, but
it's decent.
If you're really want to have something that will be better and have less echo. If you buy one of the headsets that has the earpiece and the microphone.
Yeah, and that has to do with, you know, the microphone's picking up and you're listening to the audio through the speakers, and sometimes there's a little bit of a delay. But with a headset package with the camera itself, it works pretty well. On the higher end ones, you've got, you know, autofocus. They make I don't know if you're familiar with lenses, but Carl Zeiss, I think that's how you say it, lens, which is a fancier lens that they use in digital cameras and everything. They make that, and that's actually one that's included in the Webcam Pro 9000. That's a Logitech camera. It's a nice camera. So,
and then of course, webcams—they're really not going to replace a digital camera. You know, I mean, it's not going to be good quality for taking photographs.
Right? No, and I mean this one, like this one says, it takes up to an 8-megapixel photo, but the reality is, it's not going to be the same as an 8-megapixel camera.
Right.
The optics just aren't there for that. So. But all of them with their software packages come with, fun features where you can put like bunny ears on yourself and all kinds of crazy heads and
you
all that
webcam,
type of stuff.
Kev?
Yeah. Yeah. We got one about Christmas just for chatting with in-laws and whatnot. So we have fun with it. I put our daughter on my lap and we do all the different faces and the ears and all those things. And she has a good time with that. So
very nice. Yep. Give us a call here, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here on WHTC. Kev, one of the often overlooked programs that pretty much everyone has on their computer that rarely gets updated is Adobe's Acrobat Reader.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Because there's always that pop-up when you start your computer. Adobe wants to blah, 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 but you're just starting your computer and you might come back to it later.
You might think to yourself, Adobe Reader? Why would I want to update that? Just reads Adobe files, right? PDFs. Yep. Who cares?
No big deal.
Well,
it is a big deal.
It is a big deal, actually. There have been some problems with Adobe's Reader. There is a story on the Register recently here. This is actually posted to Slashdot, but they have insecure distribution packages. Now, this is what's really interesting about it. Version 9.1 of Reader, which is what you get when you visit the official download site, currently contains 10 vulnerabilities that were patched by later releases. Adobe Systems has been taken to task for offering outdated software on its download page that contains dozens of security vulnerabilities, several of which are already being exploited in the wild. Visitors who obtain Adobe Reader from the company's official downloads page will find that it installs version 9.1 of the program on their computers, even though the most recent version was 9.12 of this writing. That could put users at considerable peril given the number of vulnerabilities fixed and the two iterations that have come since 9.1. So if you have Adobe Reader and you open up a lot of PDFs, especially, you know, if this is for home use, probably less of a chance of this affecting you. But for business, you know, I mean, Kev, I send PDF files all the time.
Sure.
The easiest way to update Adobe Reader is, well, if it prompts you. But it doesn't do that all the time.
Or that could be disabled.
Yep. So if you open up Adobe Reader, and usually that can be found in your program list, on the upper right-hand corner, there's a button that says Help. And if you click on that, usually right near the bottom of the list, it says Check for Updates. And it usually takes a little while because there's a lot of downloads or a lot of files that has to download. But yeah, Adobe Reader is an easy way to update it and save yourself from the hassle of any viruses or problems you might encounter by using an old, outdated version.
Hmm.
But it is kind of weird that Adobe would post the old version.
Yeah, especially if it is known to be vulnerable. So I agree.
Kev, let's take a quick commercial break here. You're listening to the Computer Guys on 1450 WHTC.
On July 14th, WHTC's Juke Van Oss was inducted into the Michigan Broadcasting Hall of Fame. And saluting him for this honor are Kevin Clark and Mark Zichterman of Zichterman and Clark Capital Management of Raymond James & Associates. Thank you, Juke, for your contribution to the community through your Talk of the Town program and for your 58 years service in local broadcasting here in the Holland area. Congratulations, Juke, from Kevin Clark and Mark Zichterman of Zichterman and Clark Capital Management of Raymond James & Associates.
Lakeshore Hearing Centers and Hearing Life welcome you to visit their office during their two-day open house, July 29th and 30th. Call 616-594-2006 today and make your appointment for a free hearing screening, free video otoscopic examination, free refreshments, and entry for free door prizes. Meet the audiologist and specialist and receive special discounts on hearing aids available only during the two-day open house. Again, call 616-594-2006 and make your appointment for this limited-time event. That's Lakeshore Hearing Centers and Hearing Life, 616-594-2006. But hurry, there are only 20 appointments available. Again, call Lakeshore Hearing Centers and Hearing Life at 616-594-2006. That's 616-594-2006. And take the first step to better hearing today.
Is your basement level wet or flooded from all the rain that West Michigan has been receiving lately? Call DeWinn Dewatering, the groundwater removal experts, to discuss installing a permanent dewatering system in and around your house foundation. With a permanent automatic dewatering system, you will never have to worry about flooding again. Call DeWinn Dewatering at 616-875-7580. Again, that's DeWinn Dewatering at 616-875-7580.
Too much water or too little? DeWinn Dewatering has technology to extract large volumes of groundwater. Farmers, golf courses, fire departments, parks, and playing fields need lots of water, and DeWinn Dewatering has developed the new horizontal irrigation system that can extract large quantities of shallow groundwater for high-volume irrigation use. To see if your site qualifies, call DeWinn Dewatering at 616-875-7580 to discuss this new technology and find out what hundreds of other irrigation users have already discovered. Call 616-875-7580.
In my red dress, I want it to look like a garden.
I want a moment of silence, followed by a lifetime of laughter.
With my 5-iron.
Surround me with pictures of good times.
Play Mozart.
No Tear, Verli, Langland Funeral Chapel, and Itama Funeral Home. Funerals as individual as the individual.
No one's quite sure when boys turn into men, or if they ever do. And although we never had a choice on how we entered this world, we do have a choice on how we leave. If you've ever considered cremation, consider this. You can still have a funeral. You can still have a memorial service. That way, everyone you ever said hello to will have a way to say goodbye.
No Tear Verli Langland Funeral Chapel and Itama Funeral Home.
Are you running on empty?
Welcome back. You are listening to the Computer Guys here on 1450 WHTC. We're going to take this call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yes. What you were just talking about updating Adobe Reader. What are some of the programs that you should definitely update, like Java or Apple software, QuickTime, Acrobat?
You know, in general, it's a good idea to keep them all up to date. Mm-hmm. You know, to say, you know, every week check them, do updates might be a little much, but in general, if Java's prompting you to update, go ahead. If Adobe is prompting you to update, go ahead and do it. Windows, go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Antivirus, keep it up to date.
You know, again, making sure that they are the legitimate program. Because the spoof for the antivirus is, you know, a fake antivirus program telling you to go get something and update it. So just make sure you know what you have on your computer when it's asking you to update. Make sure that's the right program.
Mm-hmm. Because I know I keep getting a thing from RegCure, and they... Actually, it's on our computer. I have no idea how.
Yeah, probably got accidentally installed. That's one of those registry cleaners that may not actually do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to actually remove that.
Okay.
Go into your programs listing in your control panel and to the add and remove programs and try and get rid of it.
Okay.
So.
Like things like Picasa and that, is it good to keep those all updated?
It's fine to update that too. Any one of those programs that you've got installed that you're using on a regular basis, those are fine to update. And they do a great job when you update them too, of usually preserving all of your settings. You know, any of the ones that are monitoring their own updates are generally good ones to update.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it doesn't like bog down the computer that
it does replace the old one generally. The only reason, the only one I would say that could slow it down a little bit is, what we've noticed is the newer versions of iTunes, and this has already happened, but it seems like every version of iTunes that comes out does more and more and ends up slowing your computer down a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing you can say with something like iTunes is if the current version of iTunes does everything you want it to do, you don't necessarily have to update it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be true pretty much for only a program like that. Any of the ones like Java or Acrobat, you really need to, for security reasons, to update those.
Okay.
All right?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yep. Bye.
Yeah, and, you know, with new modern computers that are fast, you're not going to really notice a difference. But if you've got an older computer and you're jumping from, like, iTunes 6 to iTunes 7 when they made that leap, man, that became a beefy program after that.
I don't even have iTunes.
Yeah, me neither. Got rid of it.
I don't need it to work with my Zune. Speaking of iTunes, Jeff.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned this last week, but where was this article? The latest Apple updated iTunes. Okay, here we go. Updated iTunes to version 8.2.1. According to the change log, it affects bug fixes and addresses an issue with verification of Apple devices.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
If you have the Palm Pre, it's not going to work with iTunes anymore.
Buzz off, Palm Pre. You ain't no iPhone.
That's right. You know what's kind of funny about that? I was reading into it a little bit, and I guess one of the people who was involved in the development of the Pre actually used to work for Apple. And I'm not sure if that's part of the reason why they went down that road to get it to integrate with iTunes, but it did really seamlessly. You plugged it in, and honestly, iTunes didn't identify it any different than, you know, an iPhone or, you know, an iPod. And so you could load your music on and do everything. And
it just annoys me, Jeff, so much.
It's been what, 2 months maybe that the Pre's been out?
I don't know.
Apple decides to just pull the plug on that. Say, nope, sorry, can't do that. I don't like that. I don't like it either, Dave. I agree with you.
I can understand the reason because, you know what? Suddenly there's a problem syncing and people are saying, hey, look at Apple. They're, you know, Apple can control the iPod. Apple can control the iTunes. They can't control the Palm Pre.
Yep.
So in that sense, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
They say, hey, you use our products together and it will work.
Yep.
Well, it will mostly work.
I could see them saying, we're not going to support it. Yep. Well, come on, let it work.
Yeah.
No, sorry. You got to play our way or you don't play at all. I don't like that.
Also, Kev, here we have some, there's a lot of Apple stories today.
Sure.
And I don't mean to be slamming on Apple. I really do like Apple, but this is one. There's some Freedom of Information Act documents detail iPods overheating and catching fire.
Oh, yes. iPods? Not the new iPhone?
iPods.
Okay, because the new iPhone had the issue too. And I don't know if any have caught fire, but with overheating, definitely.
Again, this is a report here that was a story from Slashdot. There was a report from a Seattle TV station that has been investigating reports of Apple iPods overheating and bursting into flames. An exclusive KIRO7 investigation reveals an alarming number of people brand iPod MP3 players have suddenly burst into flames and smoke, injuring people and damaging property.
Gosh, that'd be scary.
Yeah.
Poof, just like that. Well, even with all that news, Apple can't keep up with demand for the iPhone 3GS.
Really?
It is just, yeah, several months of hype surrounding it have paid off for Apple. But the company, since releasing it, in 18 countries, they have not been able to keep up with demand. They're currently unable to make enough iPhone 3GSs and meet the demand that they're working to address that.
Well, I tell you, Kev, their profits are up.
Oh,
their
stock price. I mean, that's what it says. Like, I'm reading this. It says, Apple says, what recession? You know, because they're just cranking their products out and people are just keep buying them. So for that, you know, Apple's definitely doing well still.
If you have any questions for the computer guys, give us a call, 395-1450. Kev, this is what we've talked about a little bit in the past, but this is a study that with some more updated numbers.
Sure.
Up to 10% of CDRs fail within a few years. People often ask us, sure. You know, we've got a lot of information. Should we burn them to CDs? What should we do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever you think about the likelihood that a new kind of DVDs could last up to 1,000 years, this little story here should give you pause about expecting current CDRs to be reliably readable for decades. TechArp found a failure rate nearly 10% for CDRs recorded 7 to 9 years ago after storage in ideal condition. And conditions on some one or more individual files could not be recovered. Others were not reliably readable on two separate drives. In the past, hard disk drives were small in capacity and costly to make up for the lack of affordable storage. Many turned to CDRs. So the question is, what are you doing with your old information? And have you checked it recently?
See, and the crazy part about that is now, I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't think I have anything for long-term storage sitting on CDs or DVDs. You know, the hard drive's as big as it is, I just keep it on there.
Yeah.
Now, the one exception to that is movies. You know, because typically, let's say you produce a movie, home video, whatever it is, you burn it to DVD to be done with it. That's the one that you're going to want to go back and check on. You know, you could make images of those movies and actually store them on your computer, provided you know how to do that, and that might not be a bad idea. More for a long-term solution. And then when you get a new computer, getting everything transferred over to that new drive and, you know, making sure that happens. But definitely if you've done that, if you've burned movies or if you've burned, you know, photos to CDs in the past, you're definitely going to want to go back and reburn them. And one thing you can do is,
or you even know, when you do that at the beginning, instead of just burning one copy of that data, just burn two or three.
Sure. Or burn a copy and leave a copy on the hard drive. You know, so that way, in case the drive fails, you've got that backup copy. But, yeah, definitely having more than one copy. Or, you know, pursue maybe an online storage solution. Might not be a bad way to go either.
Because unless you continue to transfer it from one medium to the next, there's no guarantees. You know, I mean, even look, you can keep old newspapers around or old books, but eventually they start to
turn yellow.
Last a long time, but nothing, I guess, will last forever.
That's right.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hey, you know, I had a CD that I burned a few years ago fail on me. And it had some pictures from an old digital camera that I used to use several years ago back in the 1990s. Can't recover those files. No way, no how. They are just gone. So what I did was I went out and bought a portable hard drive, and not a really big one. I think the one I got's only maybe about, I don't know, it's one of the smaller ones. Anyway, pretty cheap price. I figured, you know what, I'm just going to take my CDs, and I'm going to go ahead and load them up, and I'm going to load them off on that portable hard drive. And that way, if the floodwaters come or the house bursts into flames, I can grab that small little portable hard drive.
That's right.
Get everything I got in my pocket.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely a good idea. And honestly, you're a step ahead of a lot of people because they either forget to do that or never get around to it. So,
yeah, I was just extremely disappointed that I bought some really high-quality CDs, you know, great quality brand name. And, you know, this was only a few years ago that I burned this. And by golly, there's some files on it that are no longer readable. And agonizing.
You know, and I would say that photos are probably the worst. Because of how the photo works, it basically stores the information sort of in one area of the file, and then it stores sort of like an index on how to read that file in another location.
Right.
And so they're just really susceptible to corruption. So, a document may actually outlast the photo in that sense.
Sure. You know, and I even stored those CDs in archival quality CD storage.
Wow. You really got burned on that one.
Whoop-dee-doo. They got me.
That's right. Well, thanks for the update on that, and we're sorry for your loss.
Yeah. See you later. Bye.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Kev, that caller is not the only one who's lost information. There are, we just had somebody else a couple weeks ago. Their hard drive died and lost a lot of family vacation photos. And
yeah.
It's tough. I mean,
usually when that happens, the next line is, I was thinking about backing up.
I know.
I was just thinking about doing that.
My husband told me to do that, and I told him I'd get to it.
Don't let that happen to you. Today's the day. Back up.
Or the guys say, I don't think I want to tell my wife now.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not the only one. But, like that caller said, those external hard drives, Kev, they're great. The prices have come down. Also, online storage, whether it's Mozy or Carbonite.
Man,
they work great. You know, anytime you have multiple copies of your data.
But again, that's the thing. Multiple copies. Keep a copy on the primary drive. Keep a copy on the external or, primary drive and the offsite solution. Just make sure you have more than one copy at any point in time.
Well, Kev, we've got just less than a minute left here. We've got quite a few stories left. Let me pick one last one.
Anything that's a minute long, go for it.
Here you go. We'll just mention two of them real quickly. First of all, there's a Texas startup called Baryonyx. They plan to build a data center powered entirely by renewable energy.
Ooh.
We never really think about it. We just mentioned online storage. Well,
sure.
Storage has to use electricity.
It's true, it does.
We're going to provide that. Burn coal, burn gas.
Burn old computer parts?
Burn old computer parts. There you go. So they're going to actually have 100 wind turbines.
Wow.
In the Texas Panhandle. And the other story here is just a couple seconds is... this report says 12% of email users have actually tried to buy stuff from spam. 12%.
That's lower than I thought. I would have expected higher. Anyway, the music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to tune in, you can always check out the podcast. Two ways to do that, Apple iTunes, WHTC into the search, and we'll pop up and listen to our show there. Or go to our website, Macatawatechnologies.com, and find the podcast there as well. Again, we are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Highland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right. Well, thanks again for tuning in. We're here Wednesdays, 12:31. Tune in next week. Thanks and have a great week.